You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
With me today from Washington is Zoe Daniel, and we are going to talk not about politics, but about Angel Through My Eyes, her first fiction book. Good day, Zoe.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for your time. Angel is a product of your visit to the Philippines 5 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. It's a fictional account of a child and a family and their experience of Typhoon Haiyan that hit the Philippines in late 2013. It was a natural disaster that I went to and covered as a journalist, and it was probably the thing that has had the biggest impact on me in a lot of ways of everything that I've covered through my career. So it seemed appropriate to focus on that for Through My Eyes, which is a series that looks at conflict and natural disasters in fictionalized form to try to give kids an understanding of the impact of these kinds of things on other children who may be of a similar age to them.
As you've mentioned, you've been around the world covering different, you know, calamities, tragedies, politics, crime. What is it about this significant event that struck you the most?
Well, Typhoon Haiyan was a massive storm that hit the central Philippines, and where I was Tacloban City on Leyte, which is an island in the Philippines, and also Samar, which is an adjacent island. And it had a huge impact on the people there. It's a region that's very used to large-scale storms. They roll across and hit that area of the Philippines on an annual basis. But this was the typhoon. It basically hit Tacloban City in the form of a tsunami, really, because the storm surge from the typhoon was so enormous that it rolled over the city of Tacloban, causing effectively 90% devastation to what was a very bustling town. When I arrived there just a day or two after the typhoon, we arrived to a scene of total devastation. People who were really shell-shocked by what had happened to them and trying to in some way pick up and get on with life, or find themselves the basics, food, water and shelter in the wake of this massive disaster. And it was something, you know, it's something that struck me in many of the things that I've covered around the world, that always it's the families, it's the elderly people, it's the children who are worst affected in these kinds of situations. And this was really a situation that was very large scale and very difficult for the Filipino authorities to handle. And even when they got help, it took a long time for people to get assistance.
Growing up in the Philippines, I know for a fact that, you know, typhoons and flooding is a natural occurrence, especially during the typhoon season. But this was something that was exceptional.
I mean, as you know, people expect to experience those typhoons in the typhoon season, and much as they're accustomed to that and they have their various rituals that they go through to prepare for that, in this case, perhaps that was unhelpful in the sense that the various authorities were warning via radio and other means that this was going to be a super typhoon, that people should consider evacuating to higher ground, for example, securing their valuables, those sorts of things. But because people in the Philippines are so used to these typhoons coming across that perhaps sometimes they think, oh, it won't be any worse than anything else that we've experienced before, or it will pass over us or around us, you know, we'll get away with it. Unfortunately, in this case, the storm hit Tacloban City with full force, and some people, not all, but some people were unprepared for that, and that caused very large-scale death and injury, but also massive property damage. And for a place like that to recover from that is extremely difficult. And as I said, even for people to get the most basic of help, seems to me, being there on the ground in those early days, to take really some time. So there were very basic issues around getting clean water, getting medical attention, getting food, most of the cars had been washed away in the storm, for example, so there was very little transport. Just about all of the housing was knocked over. So it really was a massive task for the authorities, both from the Philippines but also eventually from other countries, to come in and try and help people. And it took them years to recover, and no doubt some people are still recovering from what happened back in 2013.
The series, the Angel series, is a book that was written for primary to teenage years, isn't it?
Yeah, it's based really on, you know, the sort of language and concepts that kids from probably 10 to 14 can understand, depending on their reading level. It's edited by a woman called Lynn White, who conceived this idea of fictionalising what happened in conflict zones initially in the first series and then in natural disasters in the second series, because these are things that happen in our modern world that kids are exposed to, particularly through the news, obviously, in this environment of mass communication that we live in, to try to help children to understand just what happens in those sorts of circumstances. And Angel and the other books are all based around a central character who is of the same sort of age as the audience that the books are targeted at. So Angel is a young girl who's just turning 13, and she lives on the foreshore in Tacloban City, and the plot of the book is that her home experiences the full force of Typhoon Haiyan, and in that process she loses contact with her various family members. And this is something that became very apparent to me when I was covering the storm, that people were separated from each other. And because all of the communications were knocked out, people were unable to find out whether their loved ones were alive or dead. So this is the process of Angel as a young girl who is really very resourceful and resilient, and that's another recurring theme that I find when I'm covering these sorts of things, conflict and natural disasters, is that people really do step up. So it's a story of how she reconnects with her family members, which is something that many people would have experienced after the storm.
Asking that, I asked an 11-year-old Filipino who grew up and was born in Australia to read the book, and he said that one thing, and I asked him what did he get out of it, and he said the one thing that most that struck him was the determination that Filipinos have in times of trials, and that the value that they have towards family. Was that something that you saw as well, apart from the other methods that you've mentioned?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, it is something that I've taken away from covering that typhoon. And as I said, it was probably the thing that I've covered as a journalist that's had the biggest effect on me, because it was such mass destruction and a very high death toll. But in spite of that, the survivors of the storm were literally, just a day or two after the storm, picking up tools out of the rubble, trying to rebuild their houses, trying to clear the streets, repairing wrecked jeepneys, for example, in order to get some transport happening, siphoning fuel from overturned cars so that they could get things happening to get people to hospital, those sorts of things. Picking up, you know, whatever available food that they could find, and joining forces with other family members and other members of their community to share that, queuing for water, and being, you know, really still having a smile on their face through what was effectively a horrific trauma for everyone involved. I mean, it's that strange thing as a journalist when you go to somewhere and you cover something that's very traumatic for everyone, and you come away from it feeling kind of quite guilty, having had to leave people in a very difficult situation, knowing that it will take them very long to recover from it, but also feeling strangely uplifted by the capacity of people to deal with these sorts of things. And the strength of family and the strength of resilience in the people of Tacloban City is something that really resonated with me, and I still, you know, take that away very strongly from what I saw there.
Part of the book that touched me the most was your note at the end, it transported me back to 2013. And you said that you have yet to return. Will you return to the Philippines?
I would love to. As you know, I'm now working in Washington, and I'm some distance from the patch that I was covering at that time. I was working out of Bangkok. I was covering the whole of Southeast Asia. I do feel like it's a missing piece for me that I haven't been able to go back to Tacloban City particularly and to spend some time there just to physically see what the place is like when it's not completely devastated, because the only time I've seen it was when it was literally piles of rubble and people somehow trying to rebuild their city after this terrible storm. So I definitely plan to go back there someday. I would love to take my own children back there, and they're very aware of the story because of what I talked to them about when I came back after the typhoon. My children were quite young then. My son was only six. But when I came back from the Philippines, having covered that storm, he actually had a list of questions that he'd written out for me along the lines of what did the people eat, how many people died, how did people find their family that were missing, those sorts of things. So they have a strong connection to what happened as well, and they will read Angel too. And I think it would be really wonderful for us as a family to be able to go back and sort of connect that final piece by being able to see what the people of the Philippines have managed to achieve in terms of rebuilding after that natural disaster.
Well, hopefully we'll see you somewhere in Leyte, in Tacloban, sometime soon. And thanks for sharing your story, Zoe Daniel.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.